hooray, let's praise Jesus today. Hip, hip, hooray on this Palm Sunday. Palm branches waving, cloaks a-laying, donkeys braying, Hosanna people saying. Part of the crowd shouting out loud, Jesus is King, that's what we'll sing. Disciples were there, stopping to stare, didn't have a clue what to do. Hip, hip, hooray, let's praise Jesus today. Hip, hip, hooray on this Palm Sunday. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome on this Palm Sunday. We're going to go on a bit of a journey, and we begin this part of the service with the triumphant arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem at the beginning of what is Holy Week. And then things take a bit of a turn, and by the end of the service, we'll be somewhere very different in a very different feeling today together. It's lovely, as I say, to have you all with us. We've got quite a special day today because it's also our annual stated meeting this evening, and our invitation to you all to come and join us at the Kirk Centre tonight at 6 o'clock for a supper together. You don't need to bring anything with you, just yourselves and your enthusiasm for the work of the church. You'll be well fed and well catered for. It's all in hand. A couple of other intimations, maybe just to highlight. Every evening this week during Holy Week, we have a short service at 7 o'clock here in the church. We share these services with the folks from St. Devnick's and Peter Cooter. And each evening, one of the leadership from the three churches will be leading us in worship. So they're not long services, so don't think you're here for a full hour. It'll maybe be 20 minutes, half an hour. But an opportunity to pause and to spend some time with the people that Jesus spent his last days with as we reflect on those last days. Next Friday, on Good Friday, from 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock, there's also an invitation, if anybody would like to join in, the Seven Words from the Cross along at Queen's Cross Church. It's a three-hour session, but you don't have to stay for the 3 hours. You can dip in and dip out. At certain points in those 3 hours, there'll be a short moment of worship with a prayer, some readings, and a little reflection. And different members of the clergy will be taking part in that, myself included. But apart from that, I think I will leave you to read everything else that is there. We come to worship on a day with mixed emotions, celebrations and shouts of hallelujah, entrance into the city of Jerusalem, a beating drum of judgment comes closer to Jesus. We come to worship at the start of a week filled with mixed emotions, precious moments with friends, hospitality and food, betrayal and corruption, trial and execution. We come this hour filled with mixed emotions, singing in praise with palm branches waving, weeping in despair at innocence snuffed out. Yet still we come. Let's worship God. Let's stand and sing 367 in our hymn books. Hosanna, loud Hosanna.
Thank you.
Let's come to God in prayer. Hosanna, Hosanna, rejoice, the Lord is here. We greet you, Lord, for it is you, to you that we come to worship this day. You alone, for you are King. Hosanna, Hosanna. It is our privilege and pleasure to lay our lives before you and proclaim faithfulness to the kingdom you seek for the world. Though we try hard, we recognize that we are not perfect and we make many mistakes, some small, some large. Sometimes we deny you, sometimes we withhold love, sometimes we reduce others to tears, sometimes we cause hurt. Yet forgiveness is your promise to us. Though we remain undeserving this day, we thank you for the assurance of mercy which you extend to us. May we respond with a new willingness to live faithfully in this world, working for the good of all. And Jesus, as we follow you into the city, we pray the words that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. I believe some of you are going away out of church to have fun this morning. Is that right? Are you?
Yeah.
You're going to have lots of fun.
We're going to do an Easter egg.
An Easter egg hunt? Wow. Well, I was thinking maybe I could help you out a little bit by helping you warm up. Would that be okay? Limber up and get ready to go and hunt out all these eggs. Because instead of eggs, I've hidden some donkeys. I've hidden some donkeys around the chancel of the church. And what I wondered if you'd like to do by way of warm-up for the fun that you're going to have is come and look out for these donkeys. And if you find one, hold it up and shout, Hosanna! Do you think we could manage that? We'll have a wee practice of the word Hosanna, do you think? So if I go 1, 2, 3 and you shout Hosanna, you can all join in too. Right, so 1, 2, 3, Hosanna! A little bit louder. We manage a little bit louder. Right, you ready? We'll try that again. Again, join in. 1, 2, 3. Hosanna! I think they're limbered up and warmed up. Right, so I would like you to go and see if you can find some donkeys that I've left lying around up here. And if you find one, shout out, Hosanna! You manage? Do you think? Right, if I go, are you ready? Are you ready? Ready, steady, go. See if you can find them.
Hosanna!
Do you find any more? I think there's a few like...
Hosanna!
Oh, brilliant!
Hosanna!
I think I see one more. One more that's not been found. One more that's... Oh, what's the... one last shout together then. 1, 2, 3. But we'll do it together. 1, 2, 3. Hosanna! Oh, they've gone shy all of a sudden. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, you take your donkeys with you, if you like. There we go. Found lots of donkeys. Now, and if you've not got a donkey, maybe someone will share a donkey with you. That would be a really nice, that would be a nice thing to do. Thank you for that. So we're thinking about donkeys today because the week before Easter, when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, he came riding in on a donkey. And the interesting thing about donkeys were that there were two ways for a king to arrive. One was on a horse, and if he had arrived on a horse and he was a king who was ready for war, ready on a charger for war, but coming on a donkey was a signal that he was coming in peace. And so people saw Jesus arriving in Jerusalem on this donkey, and they waved palm branches. And I know some of you have got palm crosses that you were given when you arrived. There are palm crosses for everybody, and I'll say more about those later on in the service for the adults. But if the children haven't got one, there's plenty of them. We can make sure you all get one. So palm crosses just remind us of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and at the end of the week, the crucifixion and Easter Sunday to come. So that's why we think about donkeys today. So I hope you're going to have lots of fun as you go looking for Easter eggs. I'm coming through after church, okay? I'm not going to the door today. I'm going to come and see you instead. Will you save me an egg? That'd be really good. Anyway, so we're going to continue our warm-up by singing a nice song that's got some actions. And if you feel free to join in the actions, they're not very hard. The song goes, I am walking, walking, walking for the Lord. I am walking, walking, walking for the Lord. I am walking, walking, walking for the Lord because he loves me. So the actions are really simple. We're going to walk, walking. And then when it comes to because he loves me, because he loves me. Okay, Emily, do you want to play through the tune? And then I'll say a bit more about the other actions. So you're going to be walking. Walking. Because he loves me. Right, and then the second verse is, we're clapping the second one? Clapping? Or jumping? Jumping? All right, we're jumping. You ready to jump? We'll be jumping. And then the third verse, we're clapping. And then the fourth verse, we're walking, jumping, and clapping. Do you think you can keep up? I will do the actions, and feel free, everyone, to join in. So we'll give it a go. So you want to get up on your feet, and we're going to be walking for the Lord to start with.
First reading today is from the Gospel according to St John, John chapter 12 and at verse 22. And this can be found on page 135 of the Good News Bible. Philip went and told Andrew, and two of them went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to receive great glory. I am telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. If it does die, then it produces many grains. Whoever loves his own life will lose it. Whoever hates his own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am, and my Father will honour anyone who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Shall I say, Father, do not let this hour come upon me? But that is why I came, so that I might go through this hour of suffering.
I wish I had been there that day, Ada.
What day is this, Andy?
It's Palm Sunday, of course.
Well, why would you have wanted to be there, Andy?
So that I could see Jesus.
But the scriptures say we don't need to see, we just need to believe, Andy.
Oh, I know that, but somehow that day must have been a really special one for Jesus.
I think Jesus saw every day as being special.
Yes, Ada, I know, but somehow this was a really different day. For once, it seems all the people wanted to get behind Jesus and support him. They came out of their houses and onto the streets to cheer him, encourage him, back him, pat him in the back.
They even threw their coats on the ground and got them dirty. And the waving of palm branches instead of colourful flags must have been quite a sight.
Yeah, it must have been. And the noise of everyone cheering and singing and praising God, it's something that doesn't happen every day.
Yes, Andy, but this procession was a big part of the religious leaders' anger, and they used it against Jesus at his trial, saying that his little demonstration was about becoming a king to rival the Roman emperor.
That is why being there would have been so special. It's a story of the underdog rising above everyone and becoming a hero that we could all follow. Jesus didn't ride into town on a donkey to say he was a king, but he rode into town to remind people that this was a sign of the coming of God and the kingdom that God would usher in on the world.
Yes, these were the words of the prophet Zechariah and the words from the psalmist to remind us what God has in store for his people was good.
That's what I mean, Ada. It's like Cooter winning the Scottish Premier League or Aberdeen winning the Champions League. It is hoped and dreamed about, but it all seems so unlikely. But yet, it is still possible one day. Boy, what a party there would be in Cooter and Aberdeen if those events became a reality.
I think maybe God's kingdom will come sooner than that, Andy.
And again from John at chapter 19, reading from verse 16, which can be found on page 144. And this passage is under the heading, Jesus is crucified. So they took charge of Jesus. He went out carrying his cross and came to the place of the skull, as it is called. In Hebrew, it is called Golgotha. There they crucified him. And they also crucified two other men, one on each side, with Jesus between them. Pilate wrote a notice and had put it on the cross. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, is what he wrote. Many people read it because the place where Jesus was crucified was not far from the city. The notice was written in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek. The chief priests said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written stays written."
Ada, this guy Pilate is really getting to me. He is being so manipulative, trying to dig himself out of a hole and ingratiate himself to everyone, yet pleasing absolutely no one.
He really seems to have got under your skin these last few weeks.
You're right. It's because he's a sleazeball, an odious, contemptible little man.
Anything else you would like to call him?
Yeah, a cretin, a buffoon, a bampot, a numpty.
I get it, Andy, I get it. You don't like the man.
No, I don't like him, Ada. Doesn't even come close. He pretends he's clever. He thinks he knows what the truth is. He thinks he is in control of the situation. But every step he takes in this whole drama just sinks him deeper and deeper into a world that there is no returning from.
What world is this, Andy?
It's like a kind of underworld where all the bad guys come together and make up their own rules, create their own laws, and serve out their own punishment to show how big and important they really are. The rule of law and justice holds no sway in this world, Ada. For in this dark underworld, it is all about looking good, being seen to be right even when you are wrong, being seen to be rich even when you're bankrupt, a world full of lies, deceit, and dishonesty, where innocent people become scapegoats and the real killers get away with murder. This is a world people know of, but never talk much about it. We don't even admit that we might be part of such a world.
And you see this world as you look at the cross, Andy?
Oh, yes, I do, Ada. Because as you look at Jesus on the cross, those who know his story know that he is innocent. They know he had committed no crime. He was guilty of no wrongdoing. However, we do know he challenged the state's authority and the religious community's power, and that he touched the hearts and minds of ordinary people.
And what about Pilate?
Oh, he just tries to shift the blame and responsibility for the death of Jesus to other folk. He gets a notice made with the words, King of the Jews, and has it printed in all the known languages of the region to shift the blame to the Jewish religious leaders. And they refuse to change it when those same leaders try to say that he only claimed to be the King of the Jews. At the end, nobody really knows why they put Jesus to death.
Yet we know that people wanted him dead because he was a threat to the political and religious establishment, because he exposed their weaknesses and their lies. And the underworld does not want anyone exposing people for who they really are.
Which is why the Christian church would later turn the cross, this symbol of shame, torture, and defeat, into a symbol of power and God's love. For the crucifixion, as the political and religious leaders hoped, did not end the story. Jesus died on the cross, but 3 days later, he rises from the dead. Just like he said in the temple before, torn down but rebuilt in 3 days. And the story of Christ goes on through people like you and me, Ada.
The underworld does not win in the end.
No, the victory is God in Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Pilate becomes a name in a story, but he cannot end the story, because the victory belongs to Christ, whose truth and love and compassion conquers all.
I couldn't put it better myself, Ada.
Thank you very much to Ada and Andy, aka Mary and John, for leading us through those two reflections. We're going to join our voices again in our singing, and we sing hymn 383, While Mary Was Watching. birth, life, death. For Jesus over all too soon, yet for Jesus not the end, not for the love of God. For us too, life passes at a pace, joys and laughter, sadness and tears. No matter our experiences, God is here. Never does God leave us or live separately from us, not for the love of God. I want to share a little story with you about three trees. Once there were three trees on a hill in the woods. They were discussing their hopes and dreams when the first tree said, "Someday I hope to be a treasure chest. I could be filled with gold, silver, and precious gems. I could be decorated with intricate carving, and everyone would see my beauty." The second tree said, "Someday I might be a mighty ship. I will take kings and queens across the waters and sail to the corners of the world. Everyone will feel safe in me because of the strength of my hull." Finally, the third tree said, "I want to grow to be the tallest and straightest tree in the forest. People will see me on top of the hill and look up to my branches and think of the heavens and God and how close to them I am reaching. I will be the greatest tree of all time, and people will always remember me." After a few years of praying that their dreams would come true, a group of woodsmen came upon the trees. When one came to the first tree, he said, "This looks like a strong tree. I think I should be able to sell the wood to a carpenter." And he began cutting it down. The tree was happy because he knew that the carpenter would make him into a treasure chest. At the second tree, the woodsman said, "This looks like a strong tree. I should be able to sell it to the shipyard." The second tree was happy because he knew he was on his way to becoming a mighty ship. When the woodsman came to the third tree, the tree was frightened because he knew if they cut him down, his dreams would not come true. One of the woodsmen said, "I don't need anything special from my tree. I'll take this one." And he cut it down. When the first tree arrived at the carpenter's, he was made into a feed box for animals. He was then placed in a barn and filled with hay. This was not at all what he had prayed for. The second tree was cut and made into a small fishing boat. His dreams of being a mighty ship and carrying kings and queens had come to an end. The third tree was cut into large pieces and left alone in the dark. The years went by and the trees forgot about their dreams. Then one day, a man and a woman came to the barn. She gave birth and they placed the baby in the hay of the feed box that had been made from the first tree. The man wished that he could have made a crib for his baby, but this manger would have to do. The tree could feel the importance of this event and knew that it had held the greatest treasure of all time. Years later, a group of men got into a fishing boat made from the second tree. One of them was tired and went to sleep. While they were out on the water, a great storm arose and the tree did not think it was strong enough to keep the men safe. The men woke the sleeping man and he stood and said, "Peace," and the storm stopped. At this time, the tree knew that he had carried the King of Kings within his hull. Finally, someone came and got the third tree. It was carried through the streets as people mocked the man who was carrying it. When they came to a stop, the man was nailed to the tree and raised into the air to die at the top of a hill. When Sunday came, the tree came to realize that it was strong enough to stand at the top of the hill and be as close to God as it was possible, because Jesus had been crucified on it. Our dreams may not come true the way we expect, But that doesn't mean that God is not at work in what we do and who we are. Let's worship through our offering. Let us pray. Lord of life, we owe you a great deal, a debt that cannot be repaid in full. Yet you call us to live faithfully and be abundant in the good we offer this world and its people. Receive from us today these gifts we offer and use them for good in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing again, and this time our hymn is 377, Go to Dark Gethsemane. Crowds, In the spur of the moment, feeling the thrill of something different, a sense of anticipation, shout with the travellers from the countryside as a young man rides on a donkey's colt. Hosanna, Hosanna. The disciples caught up in the thrill of the moment let their voices rise in joyful abandon. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Palm branches are torn from trees, waved in glad adoration, for their world is about to change and they cannot wait. Jesus stays silent as the colt sways him back and forth, the shouting and waving a distant blur. For his eyes are set on his destination. Nothing will stop him now. Jesus looks around him, a lump in his throat and a fire burning in his joints. With a final effort, he pulls air into his lungs and exhales with exultation and exhaustion. It is finished. The disciples, staring in horror and despair, let out a collective shuddering sigh. Tears stream, hopes lay dashed. Confusion reigns and they turn to each other. The crowd, expectant for a miracle, roll their eyes, laugh and turn away. Just another false prophet from Nazareth, no less. No wonder it all came to naught. Holy Week is an emotional week. We follow Jesus to the cross, knowing that the hope and joy of Easter is just around the corner. But before the joy comes pain. Pain that we cannot and should not ignore. As you came in this morning, you should have received a palm cross. If you didn't, please get one on your way out. On one side of the cross is written the word Hosanna, and on the other, crucify. During the week, keep this cross close by you, in a place where you will see it. And reflect on the times in your life when you've been really popular and all was going well. And take time to thank God for those times and opportunities, for the joy and the happiness. And then reflect on those times when life was a struggle, when one thing after another was going wrong, when there were arguments and unrest. Take those moments of sadness, unhappiness and grief to the Lord. Lay them and lay the burden down. And thank God for the strength and support that got you through those times. Let us pray. Lord God, the children of Israel sang praises and welcomed Jesus. They spread before him palms and cloaks and rejoiced at his coming. With similar emotion, we come before him this day. We come with a deep sense of thanksgiving, for life is good. All that is made available to us, we seek not to take for granted, but to recognize all of it as your gift to us. While we offer thanks, we recognize too many in our world have less access to the good things of life than we do. And so today we call upon your Spirit to lead us towards deeds of goodness and justice, that the poor may be lifted by our work, that the sick and needy may be healed by the comfort and support we offer, that the grieving are led to see the opportunities that are still waiting, as we offer them support and gentle encouragement, that the voiceless are given a voice by our readiness to advocate for them, for those who are oppressed to be set free by our campaigning for a fairer world. Lord, hear us as we stay silent a while, bringing to mind our family and friends. Those we name before you are precious to us, and our concern for them is large. Yet your concern for all your children is even vaster. We thank you for that unconditional love. We are loved. All are loved. Amen. Come to our closing hymn this morning. And just to say, following the hymn, there is no benediction, there is no amen, because today we have only begun our journey to the cross and the glorious resurrection. We'll come together again next Sunday to celebrate. We sing 396, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?"